Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Keep posting to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show or in our Facebook group to the question, would you vote for this House health reform bill as it passed? Lively conversations going on in both places. WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Also, we have one last edition of Digesting Politics on our webpage. It's our election season podcast where Andrea Bernstein, Bob Henley, and I discuss politics over lunch. In the final edition, we digest the election results in New York and New Jersey. Digesting Politics is a web-only feature not heard on the radio. You can download it for free at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, we've been talking about health care reform. We're at a very interesting moment in education reform right now, too, with President Obama pushing for pay based more on performance for teachers, and New York grappling with the fact that passing its state standardized tests doesn't mean you know very much as measured by the national tests. My next guest has been campaigning for nearly 25 years for education to focus more on content and not just learning how to learn. E.D. Hirsch, education professor emeritus from the University of Virginia, is out with a new book called The Making of Americans, Democracy and Our Schools. Dr. Hirsch, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Well, Brian, thanks for having me on your show.
And I think a lot of people know your basic arguments for cultural literacy. Why do you frame this book in terms of democracy?
That's an added element. You have to have a new element if you write a new book. And that was always an implicit part of the argument, was that in order to communicate with one another, you need to share background knowledge. Otherwise, a show like this couldn't really take place. But the argument is extended to the problems of the country, illustrated by your recent segment on abortion, where a kind of tribalism or sectionalism or partisanship can overcome agreement on the common good. And that was something that the founders, who were very interested in education, were quite concerned about, and they wanted some commonality in American education so that it would overcome these self-interested or regional interests.
But what kind of commonality in basic education could prevent people from having different views on abortion rights?
It couldn't happen. It's whether there's a willingness to compromise. That's the issue. And we've just had a lot of examples of you do need some allegiance to the common good, and that's a big Obama theme recently. I was very interested in last election. Obviously, you're going to have your views on abortion, but there's also going to be one of your people you were talking to just now talked about. The people in the middle get lost if the extremes outweigh those things. But how are you going to make the middle victorious, as it were, or people who are willing to compromise, how are you going to make them victorious unless there's a kind of allegiance to the larger good?
You're best known for what you call cultural literacy and the knowledge deficit for a core curriculum. Have you had an impact? And every education professor knows your work, but it's still hotly debated in the academy. Is education going more in your direction or more away from it?
Well, my colleagues at Core Knowledge keep saying, "Don, they've tried everything else. They've got to come back to us." And yes, so I think gradually there is a movement in our direction. And I noticed that when you say, "Has it had an impact?" The impact, there are 1,000. Core Knowledge schools, and they're doing quite well.
What's a Core Knowledge school?
A Core Knowledge school is a school that follows something called the Core Knowledge Sequence, which is a document my foundation puts out, Core Knowledge Foundation. And it can be found on the web. If you want to find out more, just coreknowledge.org. And these schools follow that grade-by-grade sequence, and there are about 1,000 of them, so in 47 states. So that's not trivial, but it is...
Meaning there are core things in history, in literature, et cetera, that you feel every child coming up through the American education system should learn. And so you've got a curriculum, I guess K through 12, that has building blocks that are elements of the core knowledge, correct?
That's right, yes. But it's K through 8.
Okay.
We didn't go to high school.
You didn't go to high school. You dropped out. You've been arguing for this knowledge-based education since the Reagan administration. What do you think of President Obama or Education Secretary Arne Duncan?
Well, they're the best yet, as far as I can see. Look at his criticisms of schools of education. That's a real breath of fresh air.
And what's he been saying about schools of education?
Well, he made a speech. Arne Duncan did at both Teachers College Columbia and my own school, University of Pennsylvania. The University of Virginia.
You're going to get yourself in big trouble.
And he said that these schools of education will have to reform themselves. They have to, first of all, accept new ideas, and secondly, pay more attention to the substantive education of teachers in subject matters. There are all kinds of good things that Duncan said, and he's been the only person willing to say those things.
Are there other countries that you would say do education best?
Yes. My favorite example now is Finland. People object. Well, people will always object if you look at other countries in the United States, because there'll be 17 reasons why they're unlike the United States. That's all very true. But any individual school district, which is pretty much a law unto itself, or certainly a state is in American education, is no bigger or no than those countries, and no more diverse. And they have done wonderful jobs. And even Finland, which scores highest in international comparisons, leaves a lot up to the individual district, so long as they have what is set down as the core knowledge that every first, second, or third grader should know. So it doesn't matter whether you're out in the sticks or in the middle of the city. These children are learning some of the same things.
How about the New York City schools under Mayor Bloomberg? Do you have an opinion how they're doing?
Well, I don't know exactly how they're doing, but I do know that the scores are not very, very good on average. They're improving somewhat, but I'm very grateful to Joel Klein for one thing, and that is he started a pilot program with Core Knowledge, Language, and Literacy. They did kindergarten last year, and they're doing first grade this year in 10 pilot schools. Not very many. So, by the way, they did brilliantly. I mean, they did far better than the comparison schools.
Because you think teaching knowledge actually helps teach you better to read, so you'll do well on tests that measure reading ability just by virtue of having studied core content. Is that accurate?
Absolutely right, and that is more and more true as you go up the grade.
How could that be? Why would it matter if you're studying, you know, your core curriculum, or if you're just reading passages of fiction, whatever they may be, that are selected to include certain vocabulary words and grammatical structures?
That's because actually fiction, if you can understand the fiction, which will include, it depends on the fiction, if it includes elements from science, from history, from biology, you know, from all the realms of knowledge, from talking about music and the arts and so on, if it includes those things and you understand what the novel is saying, well, you're already educated. So yes, you don't need anything but the fiction. But actually, that's not true. If any substantial fiction, none of the fiction that's read in the primary grades has any substance to it, because in order for the children to understand it, they would have to already be well educated. If it were substantial fiction. So it's not just the issue of reading fiction versus reading nonfiction. The issue is building up the cumulative knowledge you need in various domains of thought in order to understand language.
We just have a minute
vocabulary,
left.
Vocabulary is not out there floating. It's correlative to knowledge. You can't gain knowledge without gaining the vocabulary you need, and vice versa. You can't do the vocabulary without having the correlative knowledge.
We just have a minute left. What are we going to do about dumbing down these state tests? Do we have to go to the NAEP, the National Test, for every student in America, because it looks like New York and most of the other states dumb down their state tests so it looks like more and more people are passing every year, but we know by comparison with the national test that it's not true.
That's right, and I have a definite recommendation for that, which is that if New York adopted a core curriculum, they could base their reading tests on the curriculum. The reading test would be better, and it would be an accurate picture, and gradually the NAEP and New York would coincide.
The Making of Americans, Democracy in Our Schools, the latest book from E.D. Hirsch. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. A big anniversary. No, not the 20th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. We'll talk about later in the program that. But the 10th anniversary of WNYC's Radio Rookies. And we'll meet a couple who are all grown up. Stay tuned.